This is part B of health and healing. Now, I have read a book. I'm not quite done with it. It's called A More Excellent Way by Herbert Wright. Now, you can get it on Amazon.com. He is quite good. He is a Protestant, and he falls into the category that we find in Mark, the 9th chapter. Remember when James and John came to Jesus and said, "Lord, we saw a man casting out demons in your name. Should we stop him?" And Jesus said, "No, those who are not against us are on our part." So we need to keep that in mind. He has a lot of good information concerning overcoming the spiritual roots of disease. Now, he doesn't mention things like parasites and so forth, which I think he ought to mention because that's quite a thing. I think that he needs to teach the people, because he says we should, he quotes Deuteronomy 28, we need to keep his commandments, statutes, laws, and judgments. Then on the other hand, he doesn't teach Sabbath and he doesn't teach about clean and unclean meats. And so I would have to say in the case of people like that, sooner or later he's going to come to a crossroad. And when he does, then some of the knowledge that he has is going to slip away, and some of the healings that he is experiencing will disappear. But nevertheless, he has had quite a good success, and he is right in many of the things that he says. So that's Henry Wright, Wright, A More Excellent Way. Is it Henry or Herbert?
It's Henry.
Henry. Henry. Okay. It's Henry. Okay, it's Henry, not Herbert. Now, here are some of the sins that the Bible also talks about, and in particularly in the book of Proverbs. All right. These all affect your health and your immune system. All right. Here they are. Here's some of the sins that we hold on to, which are emotional and mental, which make us sick and keep us from being healed both, which he lists as spiritual rooted diseases. Here they are. Rejection. All these things you're going to face, but the question is, how do you handle all of these things? How do you handle rejection? How do you handle fear? Well, I saw an interview on Huckabee, I think it was Huckabee, by a man who wrote the book Fearless, because he was in the grips of fear. He hated himself. He didn't like life. And finally, he had to come to the point of view, I am not going to live in fear. So these things don't just necessarily apply to people in the church. They apply to everybody everywhere. So you think about this. And as I go through some of these things, ask yourself the question, does this apply to me? How have I handled it? How am I overcoming it? Have I repented of it? And we're going to see another thing. Forgiveness and judging others is vitally important to understand correctly. All right, here we go. Rejection, anger. Paul wrote, "Be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath." Get over your anger. Don't hold it. Get over every one of these things. Rejection, anger, hatred. Self-hatred. You don't like yourself because you don't like the way you look. You compare yourself with others and find you're lacking in this and that or the other. And the Bible says those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And in women, it's manifested especially with makeup, cosmetics, breast transplants, etc., etc. With men, it is in competition. It is with size of body and muscles and things like this. That can affect a person's attitude. So self-hatred. You must accept yourself for what you are and what God has made you and called you, and whatever weaknesses and deficiencies that you have. Do not be angry and bitter about it. Do not be hateful about yourself concerning it. Rather, repent. Bitterness. Unforgiveness. Now, God has quite a bit to say about that. We'll see about this in a little bit here. Okay? Guilt. Guilt is good to lead you to repentance, but going around with a guilty conscience all the time and feeling guilty, inadequate, don't do that. Those things translate into thoughts which actually create toxic chemicals in your system and can cause sickness. Change your thoughts, change what's going into your body. There's another aspect of this which is true. So your stomach, so your brain. So your brain, so your stomach. They work hand in hand. Just like there are neural nerves in your heart, there are neural nerves in your guts, and they work in tandem with your brain, with your thoughts, with your emotions. So you need to understand that. God can handle all of these things through repentance and His Spirit. If you're fearful, stop being fearful, because Christ will help you. If you're frustrated, if you're anxious, Jesus said, don't be anxious over anything. Look at the birds of the field. God feeds them. You're much better than the birds. God will take care of you. God will watch over you. See? Don't be fearful. Anxiety, stress. We all have stress. Just living in this world creates stress. I mean, just driving home tonight, you may be under quite a bit of stress, especially if you're in a traffic jam. Okay? It's not wrong to have stress, but all of these things amount to this. How do you deal with it? How do you handle it? Husband-wife relationships. How do you deal with your problems with each other? Do you have resentments? Do you have things in the back of your mind? Do you have sayings like to your husband or your wife, there you go again, etc.? Okay? We're going to see how forgiveness fits into this to take care of every one of these things. All right. Now, in his book, Henry Wright, he said, there are three things which cause spiritual blocks which create diseases in us. And that is separation from God, separation from self. That means you're not accepting yourself for what you are. God made you for what you are. He made each one of us for what we are. And all of us have individual talents and abilities so we can succeed regardless of who we are or where we are, if we apply ourselves with God's Spirit and His laws and are diligent doing it. Okay? And then, relationship with others. So, separation from God, separation from others, separation from self, by all of the things that I have mentioned here. Now, let's come to the reconciliation part of it. All right? Let's come to Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is a very important chapter in the book of Matthew. Matthew 18, let's pick it up here in verse 21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him until seven times. Now, you can put any name you want there. Brother, sister, mother, father, wife, husband, boss, minister, deacon, whatever. Notice what he says. Seven times, Jesus said to him, I say not to you until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So in your personal relationships, remember this. Forgive, 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 and forgive 490 times, if necessary, in one day. Now, I don't know of anyone who's going to sin that many times, see. That's a key. Lack of forgiveness because of jealousy, bitterness, hatred, all of those things are pent up. And all of those things cause you to think and react mentally and emotionally and spiritually in certain ways that are going to cause you to have ill health. And in some cases, even severe diseases. Now, he brought out an example of a woman who had cancer on her face, and in talking with her and counseling with her, she had fear and self-hatred. And when she repented of that, shortly afterwards, the cancer disappeared. Now, I will have to say this. Those who have been in various churches of God have been abused from the pulpit, have been beat upon by ministers with vitriolic sermons, have been put into fear by the ministers, and therefore you see, unfortunately, too many sick people in the church of God because they are not taught love, grace, and forgiveness. That's what we need. So whenever something comes up, remember, forgive, 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 forgive. And don't do this. If you're lying in bed and something comes into your mind that you're still holding against someone else and you can't go to sleep, don't waste the time. Get up out of bed, go get on your knees, forgive that person, ask God to help cleanse it from your mind that you have no hatred, no bitterness, no resentment against anyone. And remember this, if you think, oh, that's too hard to do, remember Jesus on when he was dying, hanging on that cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. So you need to get those things reconciled. Now, you might ask, well, what if this minister did something to me years ago? I don't know where he is. And besides, how can he come to me and repent? Well, you be ready to forgive. You forgive before God. Ask God to cleanse your mind with the washing of the water of the Word. Get it out of your mind, out of your emotions. Forgive that person and put them in God's hands and go, leave it alone. That's what we need to do with these things. How many people from past church experience, think of the Catholics who have been abused by priests. Think of those who have committed adultery and fornication and sodomy in various churches. And if you've been a victim of it, you go around victimized. How are you ever going to get your mind and your emotions squared around? You have to forgive. Oh, I can't forgive. Well, is it a forgivable sin? Yes. Does God expect you to forgive? Yes. Was it mean? Was it nasty? Was it terrible? Was it dirty? Was it surreptitious? Did it cause mental and emotional problems with you? Yes. Do you want to get over them? Forgive. Put them into God's hands. That's what Jesus said. Now, let's also understand as we go along here, he gives a parable of the one who owed 10,000 talents, had nothing to pay with. He was forgiven. And then what happened? He went out and found someone who owed him 100, silver coins and says, pay me all that you owe me. See? What happened? Came back, the Lord heard what happened. And he said, I forgave you, but you didn't. So all that you owe me is now due. And I'm casting you into prison until you have been there long enough to pay me. Now notice, he says here, verse 32. Then his Lord called him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you implored me. Were you not obligated? That's the word in the Greek. We have an obligation to whom? God, number one. The person, number two, right? Yes. Were you not obligated to have compassion on your fellow servant, even as I had compassion on you? In anger, his Lord delivered him to the tormentors until he should pay all that he owed him. Likewise shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother's offenses from the heart. So whether it's brother, sister, father, mother, aunt, uncle, minister, deacon, why should you go around and have your life mentally, emotionally tormented because you're constantly fighting this battle in the back of your mind? And every time you see that person, it wells up in you with resentment and bitterness. Or maybe you had a great disappointment in life and was never fulfilled. Maybe that wasn't the will of God. So you have to accept everything the way that it comes, ask God to help you and bless you, and get rid of those things. Read in the Proverbs, says, do not keep company with an angry man, lest you become like him. Proverbs says, bitterness is the rottenness of bones. So you tie jealousy in with that. Maybe you can help answer the question, why do so many women have osteoporosis more than men? Because they're more prone to jealousy. They're more prone to bitterness. Besides, why would you want to have all of that baggage hanging around? Huh? Can God forgive you for it? Yes. Does he want you to repent of it? Yes. Does he want you to love him and reconnect with him that way? Yes. Well, that's the solution. Now, I know you can take a 300-page book and condense it down into half an hour, what I'm covering here. That surely doesn't cover it all. But what this does, this helps give you what we should say then is a spiritual foundation and platform on which to approach many of the problems in your life and many of the relationships that you have with others. And you will be amazed how it will give you relief of mind, peace of mind, and reconnect you to God, to others, and an acceptance of yourself as you are. And let God with his Spirit do the changing and healing and improving with you. Now, all of us are confronted sometimes with long-term problems that are not solved immediately. So what do you do? You pray every day until the answer comes. You pray every day until the solution is presented. And remember the parable, which is right here in Matthew 18:2. The one sheep that went astray, went out looking for it, he left the 99, went out looking for the one, found it, and rejoiced. Okay, we'll look at the same way with your problems, okay? Get those big problems one at a time out of your life through prayer and forgiveness. Forgive the one that offended you or that you offended, and ask God to forgive you for holding it within. You want God to forgive you all your sins? Absolutely. I do. You do. You want God to help you with all these problems to overcome them? Yes. Then ask yourself the question, why should I drag this baggage along with me all the time? God wants you to give it up. Think about that. It's going to take a deep repentance in many cases to really accomplish it. Christ paid the penalty. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, when they were the ones who crucified him. And none of us have gone through anything like that. Can we not say, Father, forgive them, and mean it from the heart, as it says here? Forgive each one their offenses from the heart. Not just to verbally say, I forgive you, but just wait till next time. See, that's not what God wants. Now, I'm sure there are many, many more things I could cover on it. There are books written on sickness and disease and healing. There, whole medical professions are built around it. You have psychological and psychiatric things that the world tries to use to help. But the simplest thing to do is forgive. 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 Don't hold grudges. Don't hold bitterness. Don't hold these things in. Ask God to forgive you for holding on to it. Besides, why would you want to do that anyway? What is it going to serve in your life? What if it makes you sick? What if it brings you down with a serious disease, like this poor woman had with cancer on the face? So, anyway, I'll try and cover some more of this when I come down next time, see if we can get a little more into it. Comment was made, why do we not have more healings? Well, I think that requires a longer answer than I can give in a few minutes. It can be part of it, a lack of faith, part of a lack of understanding. Can be lack of faith on the part of the minister, be lack of faith a part of the one being anointed. It can be many different things. So next time I'll cover that. Well, there were some healings that were taking place. I know of others that didn't. I wouldn't necessarily equate our past church experience to being Philadelphians, and now we're not Philadelphians. I would equate it that we're all Laodiceans, and the Laodiceans became rich and increased with goods and lack of faith. So there are many things involved in it. We have had lots and lots of healings. We have had some where there haven't been healings, but always remember this, the ultimate goal of the work that God is doing in us, that we be faithful unto death. That's the ultimate goal. Healing, in the meantime, is needful for continued to living in the flesh and so forth. There are many aspects that are connected with it, so I'm glad you asked the question. So when I come down next time here to Arcadia, I'll be sure and cover that in more detail. But thank you for coming. Appreciate it. We're pretty much out of time here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.